up. This is Movies On Up. This story will have you singing, laughing, crying, cheering, and stomping your feet. My co-host will also have you singing, laughing, crying, cheering, and stomping your feet. Without a horrific plane accident at the end, I am joined by Mr. Mike Mann.
That's me.
Filling in for Mr. Ryan for one final week as we get into December, getting into our holiday season. This week, the tagline, his story will have you singing, laughing, crying, cheering, and stomping your feet. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or the Twitter, @moviesonup. If you are right and we select you, you win the glorious Movies On Up prize package. I've teased for the last couple weeks that this is kind of kicking off one of my favorite three-week spans in Movies On Up history. And usually we try to theme our episode with something coming out that week. That's kind of out the window this week. This month, for the month of December. Last year for Christmas, we did a Die Hard episode.
Okay.
That's one of my favorite movies ever. So I said, this year for Christmas, I want to do Point Break.
Okay.
Then I remembered the Point Break remake comes out on Christmas Day. Has nothing to do with that. I just, as a Christmas present to myself, I wanted to do a Point Break episode the week of Christmas. Ryan agreed. The week before Christmas, then it's like, okay, well, last year we did our favorite non-Christmas Christmas movies. And since we both left Die Hard off, because we were doing an episode on Die Hard, Lethal Weapon ended up number one on both our lists. So we thought, let's do a Lethal Weapon episode.
Mm-hmm.
So the week before Christmas, Lethal Weapon episode. What's Lethal Weapon and Point Break have in common? Gary Busey. So we thought, you know what? Favorite Gary Busey episodes. So, Ryan's not here for it, which is fine, because I think it'll be interesting, because I, you know, the age gap, I feel like we have different recollections of Gary Busey.
That's absolutely true.
Between Mike Mann and I. So, I'm interested. When you hear Gary Busey, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Because he's stayed relevant. Not necessarily as a movie star, but he's been relevant in the last 20 years.
Entourage, or I think of that he did the one voice for Grand Theft Auto.
He had a show on Comedy Central for a bit too, I'm with Busey,
which was like, okay.
And I'm sure he's been on a few of the rehab shows, I'd assume.
Yeah, that's yeah.
So I mean, he's now this crazy guy. That you know who he is, but you don't necessarily remember why you know who he is.
He's just kind of like, hey, he's an old guy. He was in stuff.
Yeah.
Like, what was he in?
He's like Shaka Khan. You know they're famous, but you're not quite sure why.
And you don't really care why either.
Yeah. So, and Gary Busey's had a interesting career. I thought this episode would be a little harder than it was. My top three I really, really like. He's not the kind of guy that's leading a movie. I think a common thread here will be he's a good villain. Actually, that's not even a common thread in my top five. So I take that back. But he's a good villain, and he's a good second man. Like, he's not really...
Much else.
Yeah, you didn't have a lot of... I mean, he did win an Oscar. That's the craziest thing. Gary Busey winning an Oscar. Yeah. That blows my mind. If you know Gary Busey now and know that, oh, he won an Oscar, that's insane.
Especially because the movie that he won an Oscar for, he was, like, legitimately good in.
Oh, he was fantastic in it. Fantastic. That's, like, a completely different actor than the rest of his career. Because he did kind of stick with what he did something well, and he kind of stuck with it. But that's enough about our Gary Busey lift. What is your fifth favorite Gary Busey movie?
Like, this is legitimately a struggle. But the movie Warriors, I thought he was pretty good in. Where he's in the army, or whatever it is, he's in the army. And then he, like, has to kill a bunch of people.
See, I don't remember that one. What's the year on that?
94, I think.
Okay. Yeah, see, I don't remember that one at all. Who else is in that?
Let's see.
Anybody?
Michael Pere.
Oh, Michael Pere. Okay.
That's really
about it. Yeah, that's a 90s action movie.
Yeah, but he's cool because he's like a government, like, killing machine. And he just, like, has to, like, hunt down people and, like, eventually kill his, like, squad leader. He's like, oh, Gary Busey, I'm cool, and I'm gonna kill people. And that's really about all he's good in that for.
He's always good at the, I'm Gary Busey, and I'm gonna kill people. Which he is in my number five as well. But he's the villain in 1994's Drop Zone.
Ooh, okay.
It's the Wesley Snipes movie that involves airplanes that isn't Passenger 57. This came out pretty close and are very, very easy. This is where, you know, Wesley Snipes has to team up with a professional skydiver. I'm sorry. I'll compose myself for this very serious sentence. Wesley Snipes has to team up with a professional skydiver to capture a renegade computer hacker on the run from the law. That's where you get Drop Zone from. And that's a 90s action movie, just like if it stars Michael Pere. It's probably a 90s action movie. I don't remember a lot about this movie because this is very, very easy. I was a sucker in the 90s. I saw pretty much every Wesley Snipes movie in the theaters.
Because Wesley Snipes was dope.
Oh, he was awesome. And I liked this. But dude, did I? So I don't know if I liked this or if I liked Passenger 57 or if I didn't like either one of them. But Gary Busey played the villain in this one. So, I don't remember him as the villain in this. I saw this in theaters and not since. So, I know he's in it and he's the bad guy. So, here's a more detailed plot synopsis. A team of skydiving crooks led by DEA agent turned bad, Busey, specialize in landing on police roofs and breaking in so their evil computer nerd can steal undercover agents' files and sell them to drug lords. So, yeah. Yeah. So, Die Hard meets Passenger 57 meets Cliffhanger. So, that's my number five. So, that's kind of where we're setting the bar at there. So your number four.
My number four is Black Sheep, and mainly because this is, once again, where Gary Busey is really good at just playing a jerk, and he has a rocket launcher, and runs around with some guns for a while. That's really about all he's good for in this. He's a jerk to Chris Farley. He's got a ton of face paint and has a rocket launcher. That's really about all I remember about this.
See, I don't remember his part in this movie. I saw it show up, like, I went through his IMDb page, I saw it, and most of them I don't remember. Like, that's the thing, is usually these lists, it's like, oh, I remember him in this, I remember him in this. I don't remember him in Drop Zone, because I don't remember him in Black Sheep.
Well, there's a point where he chokes David Spade against a tree, so it's really about the only, like, cool part, I guess. About as cool as Gary Busey, like, in a movie gets.
I also don't remember him in my number four.
Oh, wow.
Which I legit like, but it's a Danny Glover movie. It is 1990's Predator 2.
Yeah, it's a good movie, though.
Don't remember Gary Busey in it. He's second billed, right behind Danny Glover. So I assume he's the sidekick-ish.
It's almost like Gary Busey won his whole career just passively being in movies and making money.
Yeah, I think he just showed up on the set on half the time. It's like, well, Busey's here. He has some name recognition. So, I can't, I don't know how to speak of this movie. I can't speak highly of Busey's performance in Predator 2 because until looking at his IMDb page and realizing he's second billed, I don't remember him in Predator 2. Grant, I haven't seen Predator 2 since it came out on VHS in like 91, so I don't know. My memory's not that great. I remember parts of it, but they're all Danny Glover parts. So, I'm sure Busey was fine. I'm sure I hope he died a horrific death.
I'm pretty sure he did.
You'd have to. I know the deaths weren't nearly as horrific as in the original, but he'd have to. But that's the end of the passive-aggressive Gary Busey praise from me, at least. Because my top three, I actually really, really like. And two of them I remember Gary Busey in very, very thoroughly.
Yeah, me too, actually. Three of the three I remember Gary Busey in. But my third is Lethal Weapon, which I won't talk about too much, since, you know, there's going to be a whole episode on it, which I'm not a part of. But he's actually, like, memorable in this movie, and you're like, oh, hey, Gary Busey's doing stuff.
He's a really good bad guy.
Yep, he's a good bad guy, and that's...
Because Lethal Weapon was cool because your main dude is a suicidal maniac.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you top that as a villain? Oh, Gary Busey.
Yep.
So, I left Lethal Weapon off the list. I figured you would have it just because I feel like that's one of the easier to remember Gary Busey roles.
Oh yeah.
I feel like that's one that'll come up. I think that's one that people remember he's in. Whereas, you know, our others, it was just kind of like, oh yeah, Gary Busey's in that. I guess I'll put that on there.
That, and because it's one of the few movies that, like, was actually good and he was memorable in it. Like,
yeah.
Because he's memorable, I guess, sometimes, but not many good things.
But it is a good movie.
Oh yeah.
It's easily my favorite of Lethal Weapons. It transitioned into this completely different franchise than what it started at,
which was weird.
But I really, really liked it. I also really, really like my number three, and he is very memorable in it, at least for me. He plays Uncle Red in 1985 Silver Bullet. You have a wheelchaired Corey Haim, you have a werewolf on the loose, then you have Uncle Red, you know, who's actually a really cool uncle in this movie. Like, it's...
And Corey Haim was really, really good in this, too.
Yeah. He's tied down to a wheelchair for the whole time. But, you know, and then Megan Follows was the sister. Everett McGill as Reverend Lowe, who I thought was awesome in it. This is one I don't know how it holds up. It's over 30 years old now. I liked it. Or wait, is it? Yeah, it's 30 years old now. I loved it as a kid. I watched it well into the 90s. So it's not one I saw in 85 and then never went back to. I watched it well into the 90s. My brother and I loved this movie. And Gary Busey was the cool uncle.
Mm-hmm.
Because he had Corey Haim, who didn't really have much going for him.
He's in a wheelchair. There's a werewolf in his town.
But he had this really cool uncle who was there for him and wanted to be cool and wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt. Werewolf movies are hard to do good ones. And I think to this day, this is one of the better ones. Mm. This is actually one of the better werewolf movies. It's really good. It's one of those rare... It's a good Stephen King adaptation. Like, it's a really good adaptation of a Stephen King book. And, you know, outside of Pet Sematary, it's up there. Like, off top of my head, it's one of my favorite Stephen King adaptations. I mean, obviously, yeah. Pet Sematary, Shawshank come to mind first, but this would probably... I think we've done a favorite... I'm pretty sure Ryan and I have done a list before of favorite Stephen King, and I'm sure this would have made it. But it's an enjoyable movie, and Gary Busey is really good in it. Like, it's one of those where he shows up, he's what he does, and, you know... It's not that far-reaching because his role in this is very similar than it is to my number one, which I'm pretty sure is your number one as well,
mm-hmm.
where he's just that kind of cool uncle character. But I liked it.
Yeah, and he gets Corey Haim that cool motorcycle wheelchair thing at the one point, which is pretty dope. So how cool does you can't really get cooler uncle than that. You know, my number two, which I think is probably the only the peak movie that Gary Busey ever starred in, The Buddy Holly Story, the only movie he won an award for, and probably rightfully so, but his really most memorable part where you're like, oh wow, Gary Busey made that movie, this is really about the only time he did it, which is a shame because really it's his first real big movie, so it was just all downhill from there pretty much.
It's all downhill from there. Yeah. This is it's a lightning in the bottle type thing, and you see it with directors and you see it with actors where they come out of the gate and they do this really, really brilliant thing and then nothing, like, nothing else compares to it afterwards. And he had a good career. I mean, that movie was almost 40 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and we're still talking Gary Busey. The average kid knows who Gary Busey is, so.
Surprisingly.
Yeah, so it's not like he hasn't had a career. He has, but not like that. You know, he started off as finals MVP and then was ninth man on the bench for the rest of his career. So, it's going to be a weird word to use. That's probably the most legit choice on either of our lists, other than our number one, obviously.
Yeah, the most, like, hey, he was actively in this movie.
And this was his movie.
Yeah.
My number two is another one that I like the movie a lot. I know I've talked about it before. I don't remember him in it, really. And then I see he's like third or fourth billed, and it's like, oh yeah, that makes sense. We're going back to 1994. Surviving the Game, based on the short story Most Dangerous Game, starring Ice-T as a homeless guy who's hired as a a survival guide for a group of wealthy businessmen. And it turns out they're just hunting him. It's Rutger Hauer, Charles S. Dutton, Gary Busey, F. Murray Abraham, John C. McGinley, William McNamara. That's a 90s cast. That is such a 90s cast. So Gary Busey in there absolutely makes sense. It does not surprise me one bit that he's in there. And you know what? I do legit like this movie. Ice-T was competent as a movie star. You look at him now on NCISI or whatever he's on, Law and Order, Jury Duty. He's on a TV show, and he just... it's like he's just there to give exposition and deliver terrible one-liners. In the 90s, he had a decent run as a movie star. Yeah. Because, like, this... I feel like Trespass was a legit movie. New Jack City is a pretty solid good movie. Colors. Ice-T had a good run as a legit movie star. And this was one of it. Like, this is him as an action star. And this is him... You know, he's essentially carrying this movie with that cast. And, I mean, in the 90s, Rutger Hauer, Charles S. Dutton, Busey, F. Murray Abraham, William McNamara, John C. McGinley, that meant something. Not maybe John C. McGinley, I'm overselling him at that point. But, I mean, he carried this movie, and it was pretty awesome. Like, for a hunting homeless people in the woods movie, easily one of my favorites.
Ice-T also had dreads in this movie, which were really cool.
Yeah. Well, he was homeless.
Yeah, but they were cool.
Yeah. But then to our number one. I think anybody that knows Gary Busey...
At all.
And I even texted you. I don't care what you do on your Busey list. If this movie isn't number one, don't even put it on the list. It's the birth of why we're doing a Busey episode. It is my Christmas present to myself this year. It is Point Break.
Yeah.
From 1991. Directed by Kathryn Bigelow. Starring Keanu Reeves, Patrick Swayze, Gary Busey, Lori Petty, John C. McGinley. This is one of those... It's almost like if you take... You know... If you take... You know, chocolate and cinnamon... and Swiss cheese, and marinara sauce, and eggs. And it's like all these things that, like, they're tolerable on their own, but together they should not make any sense. And then it comes out as the best meal you've ever tasted. That is this movie. Keanu Reeves, Swayze, Busey, Lori Petty, those four things should not combine to make something magical. But they do. Keanu tries everything he can to spoil this movie. He really does. But Busey, he's basically Uncle Red as Pappas.
Again, yeah.
Like, he's Uncle Red, just, he's a cop. Lori Petty, I have a soft spot for Lori Petty. Lori Petty in this movie is one of the hottest things I've ever seen in my life. I love Lori Petty in this movie. Swayze, It's the perfect role for Swayze. Yeah. Bodie.
Patrick Swayze is super cool in this.
And I mean, you have an Academy Award winning director. Mm-hmm. And it's a well put together movie. It's a 90s action movie, but it's not a 90s action movie because there's more to it than that. It has everything you love about 90s action movies, but it has
depth
and it has characters. And all right, we laughed about Drop Zone being about somebody going undercover as a skydiver to foil hackers. This plot isn't much less ridiculous.
It's about equally as 90s.
But I like it because it's Busey. It's a perfect Busey role because Pappas has this theory. He's followed, you know, the bank robberies, and they follow certain surfing patterns. And so they give him this young ex-quarterback, ex-college quarterback, to go undercover as a surfer. And it sounds ridiculous, but everything about it works. Like, the relationship between Reeves and Pappas is awesome. The relationship between Reeves and Bodie works. Reeves and Petty. Everything about this movie works. And, like, you look at it, and you want to watch it ironically, and you want to think, like, oh, I only like this as a punchline. Like, it's funny to like Point Break, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you watch it, and it's like, oh, my God, this movie's awesome. And I have never been more amped. To this day, I have never been more amped than Keanu Reeves jumping out of the airplane without a parachute.
I can't disagree with you there.
This movie is 25 years old. That is one of my favorite scenes in any movie ever. And I know I've told this story on the podcast before. And if you've ever met me, I've told this story in person. But Point Break is one of my favorite movie-going experiences ever. I guess I could have waited until we were done recording to fix that. But my brother and I would always do double features. We would go pay for a movie, watch it, and then just go into a second movie. And I remember being so blown away by this movie. Like, I was into it, and then Keanu jumps out of the plane, and I'm, like, on the edge of my seat. Like, I'm making a quote for the movie. Like, I was literally on the edge of my seat the whole time. Up until the end. And I remember sitting there through the credits, and I'm just, the adrenaline's rushing, and my brother just looks at me and is like, all right, what do you want to watch now? And I said, this. And he's like, you just want to watch this again? Yes. And we sat there, and we watched Point Break for the second time in a row. And it was amazing. I don't remember what else was in theaters at that time. I don't know what I missed out on. But I saw Point Break twice in a row, and it's one of my favorite memories I have with my brother. And I absolutely love this movie, unironically, like, unashamed. It's not a guilty pleasure. I'm not exaggerating. This is a top 15 movie for me. Easy. Probably top 10 movie ever for me.
Oh, wow.
Because I legit love it. And I'm trying not to gush too much because we have a whole episode on it in a couple of weeks. But there'll be a different perspective with Ryan joining in on it. So, I mean, you have a different experience seeing this movie. I know you didn't see the movie in the theaters because I don't know if you were even born when it came out. But
I wasn't.
Yeah, so I know you have a different experience with this movie. And I'm interested, like, what your what thoughts Point Break invokes in you.
Peak Patrick Swayze. Like, I love Patrick Swayze a lot in pretty much any movie. And I also am one of the few who really likes Keanu Reeves a lot in pretty much any movie Keanu Reeves is in. So this is kind of like a real, like, 1-2 punch combo for me. But then Gary Busey is, like, genuinely really good in this. He is like your Uncle Red all over again. He's a silly, you know, kind of silly guy. You know, comes in, does a good cop job pretty well. So I like this a lot. This isn't nowhere near, like, top 10 movies all time for me, but I could understand why, like, you know, in your age demographic, where it would be.
And it's like a perfect storm of just everything worked out. Like, occasionally you have actors that do certain things very well, and then the role comes along for him where it fits exactly what they do perfectly. This was a perfect Swayze role.
Mm-hmm.
This was a perfect Reeves role. This was a perfect Busey role. If you look at this and you replace any of those three in this movie, it's a completely different movie because they were all perfect for that part.
Yeah.
And I'm not an anti-remake guy. I've said over and over again, like, a remake will never make me enjoy the original less. But this is one that you can't remake. Like, you cannot redo, especially with Luke Bracey and Edgar Ramirez. Like, you're not even trying. And they're taken out of surfing, and it's just all overall extreme sports when Point Break is a surfing term. This remake's going to be terrible. I will never, ever see this remake. Like, there's nothing in this world that will ever make me see this remake. Because it doesn't need it. And it's not even that it's... Oh, I'm being ironic. It's a 7.2 on IMDb.
Mm-hmm.
Which, for this kind of movie, that's pretty awesome. Like, I think most people think they like it ironically, when in reality, they just like it.
Because it's good.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll talk more in depth with it with Ryan here in a couple of weeks. But that was my number one Busey movie by a long shot. What's your... did you have any also-rans?
No. Maybe, like... What was it? Rookie of the Year? The one with, like...
Yeah.
He's in the baseball movie.
Yeah.
Little kid's baseball movie, which is a really bad movie, but...
Yeah. I had Lethal Weapon. Lost Highway is one of those I remember liking that movie. I don't remember him in it.
Mm-hmm.
The Firm... Don't remember him in it. Chasers? I actually remember it's him and Erica Liniak. It's kind of like a Midnight Run type scenario. I remember that being somewhat enjoyable. And then this movie, A Star Is Born. The only reason I have that on there, that was playing at the movie theater in my hometown the day I was born.
Oh, so
for some reason, I always remember that movie. That and the Jack the Ripper time travel movie. Time After Time.
Mm-hmm.
Those two movies were playing at the movie theater the day I was born. So I kind of got thrown in there. I also have a bonus top five movies list for this week.
Oh, wow.
They are my top five Nick Nolte movies.
Oh, where?
Because I spent a large part of my life, and even to this day, I'm not quite sure which one is which. Like, because a lot of movies I thought, like, oh yeah, that'll be in my top five Gary Busey movies, ended up being Nick Nolte movies. So they weren't on there. But my top five Nick Nolte movies. Number five, Blue Chips.
Starring Shaq. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a great movie.
Number four, I'll Do Anything. It was a romantic comedy starring Nick Nolte, which was weird. Number three, 48 Hours / Another 48 Hours. Eddie Murphy, Nick Nolte, not Buddy Cop, because Eddie Murphy wasn't a cop, but just buddy comedy. Number two, Nick Nolte made a comeback a few years ago in Warrior. Phenomenal movie. Joel Edgerton, Tom Hardy.
That was good.
And then number one, Cape Fear. De Niro steals that. But Nick Nolte is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Then I like that Night Watch. That's the one where he was nailing dead bodies and then U-turn. So those are my bonus top five Nick Nolte movies, because we'll never do a top five Nick Nolte episode ever.
It's probably good that way.
stay tuned the next couple of weeks, because we have Lethal Weapon next week, and then the week after that. Actually, the rest of December, I'm excited for. We have Lethal Weapon next week, Point Break the week after that. The week after that is our third or fourth annual Uppies, which is always one of my favorite episodes to do, and then we'll kick off next year with our favorites of the year. So, I mean, the next four or five episodes, I'm really, really excited for. Find more of me at Dave Bacella on Twitter, DaveBacella.com. My other show, Mike and Dave Have Daddy Issues, we've actually put up a few new episodes. We were only doing one episode every 3 months or so, but we put up two or three new ones since I last plugged it, just in November and December. So check that out, daddyissues.net. If you want to hear me and my friend Mike Klinich talk about being dads, it's come out pretty fun. You can find Mike Mann on the Twitter, at your man Mike. Follow us on Twitter, Movies on Up, at Movies on Up on Twitter. Email us. What's your favorite Busey movies? Give us your thoughts on Lethal Weapon or Point Break. We'd love to discuss them. Moviesonup at gmail.com. Like our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup. But, yeah, just enjoy the holiday season. Be safe out there if you're in snowy regions. And if it gets too cold out, just snuggle up next to the fire and watch some Point Break and Lethal Weapon. But we will see you next week. Until then,
keep it up.